I wouldn't say we fell in love right away. I think we were, as they call it in the biz, trauma bonding.
And then after 8 years of being insufferably sober, I started drinking again.
Addicts tend to be rather sensitive people.
Aren't you Marc Maron? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, what happened to you?
Hey, you guys, you're listening to Recover Girl, a podcast about addiction and recovery and sharing your dark to find your light. I am your host, Anna David. I kind of do different things with various episodes. This is one of those storytelling episodes. And what I mean by that is you are about to be hearing from one of the performers at my live storytelling show that takes place in Los Angeles every 2 months. And by the way, if you want to know more about that thing, you got to go sign up for my newsletter, and that you will be alerted as to when the storytelling shows are taking place and also when they're going to be on Facebook Live, because I do understand not everybody is in Los Angeles. Go to AnnaDavidCoaching.com and you will never miss one of these shows. I will say the audio is not great. We put this on Facebook Live and then I stripped the audio, and it kind of goes a little bit in and out, but don't give up. Stay with it, because this one is amazing. This is a very special episode for me because it is a story told by my friend Travis Jones. Travis Jones is a video editor by day and a storyteller and comedian by night. He's performed at The Moth and various other storytelling shows around town. By town, I mean Los Angeles. And he's just a special guy, and this he killed it. So what else do I want to tell you? If you like this podcast, I hope that you will consider subscribing and possibly even throwing a review up there. I don't know. Podcast marketing websites will tell you should never ask for a review up at the top of the show, because like you're supposed to give before you ask. But you know what, you guys are rule breakers, so defy that logic. And I'm telling you now, and you're not going to hold it against me, you can be a defiant person who changes the way the world is run if you go and review my podcast right now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking about all of that, and I'm going to give you Travis Jones.
Okay, it's very special that I get to introduce you, because Travis is a longtime fan of this show who is so hilarious. I've only heard him share in meetings, but I heard him share. I was like, I'm fucking booking you for this show. Give it up for Travis Jones.
How's it going, everybody? My name is Travis Jones.
Hi, Travis.
We'll leave it at that. I just want to thank Anna for asking me to speak. Pretty much asking me to do my favorite thing, which is talking about myself. So I went to college once for 5 days. Showed up on Monday, and I got arrested on Wednesday. And I left on Friday. It's alcohol related. That's what happened. That happened at the University of Georgia in Athens in August of 1999. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what it was like. So the very first time I ever drank alcohol, I was 14 years old. I'm from Kentucky. It was called Southern Comfort. There could not be a better name for a spirit. Southern Comfort. That's like what I was seeking, you know? It's from the South. And we had a good time. It was at a friend's farm, you know, like big farm and everything. And the next day, I was asked a question I'd never been asked before. Do you remember what you said last night? No. And the person asking me that question was my friend's mom. So what I had done is, the farm, we're out there drinking, and like I just came into the house, the parents were having like a dinner party, and I was like, I just want to let y'all know that like we're drinking, you know, everyone's drunk. I don't want to lie, I just want to be honest about it. It's not a big deal, but like we're drinking, you know. That's what I was told that I said, I believe it. Okay, and so from the start, when I'm drunk, it's just like an open just, you're going to get it all from me. I don't actually think that I'm that dishonest when I'm drunk. It's like I'm just clearly, no filter. And so that was the first experience. I remember at prom, freshman year, I went to sleep at this house and woke up at this house, and like couldn't account for the, and my friends were like, you know, if you black out, you're an alcoholic. And I was like, well, what's that? that won't happen to me, you know, because I'm different. And so when that happened at University of Georgia, that was, I had transferred. So that was like my academic mulligan. If you don't know what that means, it's like in golf, when you tee off on the first hole, you don't like where it goes, you get a mulligan, get a second chance. My first shot that I didn't really like, that was at Wake Forest University. The only reason I went is because I got in. It really wasn't that much fun. You know, the fraternity houses were in the dorms. It was so lame, you know. It was like a place where people went to school, you know. And that's not really what I was going for. Now, midway through September, I got arrested. And this is what happened in that situation. There was an off-campus party. There was a keg. It was in a garage. But the tap was broken. And it was super bummer. I mean, everyone's there, all these empty cups, a keg full of beer, no tap. But I was like, hey, I think I can fix it. I'm like, he's just freshman, you know? I'm like, no, I know exactly, like, the fulcrum on the tap wasn't being levered by the top part. They're like, what are you talking about? I was like, watch. And all of a sudden, beer's flowing. And they're like, oh my God, how did you know? I'm like, no, I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm a professional, you know? And savior, the lifeblood of the party. I'm the one that got the beer going. And so it kind of kept me on the tap, though. You know, I couldn't really socialize. I was filling beers up there. And so I'm just like, got my spot there. And then all of a sudden, it was a cop. I was filling up a beer, and they arrested me for possession of alcohol and aiding and abetting the consumption of a minor. It's like, abetting? What does that mean? They're like, facilitating. You're filling beers up for minors. And so I was like, I got two charges. The worst luck, you know. Wrong place at the worst time. And so in January of that year, I was going to get into the fraternity, and it was, everything was going to be okay. Like this one group fraternity, like, you're the coolest guy we've ever met. I mean, like, you could drink, like, I was the guy that they would like bring me in and be like, watch what he can do. again, it wasn't that much fun at Wake Forest, but like that rush week, when you got into the fraternity, that was a saving grace experience. Like for the fraternity I was going in, there was like a party called the Kiss List Party, which meant that the Kappa sorority and the Sigma Chi's, like, the pledges all got to like make out like all night. Like there was like a list of girls you got to go, like you were allowed to go. Doesn't sound good in this climate these days, but and so I was like looking forward to that night. And so the guys come into my dorm to be like, you know, handing out the bids, and these two guys are like, hey, you know, I was like, let's go, you know, like CarMax. Remember CarMax? Yeah. And they're like, sorry man, we got a one ball policy in this fraternity. Like if there's one guy that doesn't want you in, like you're not in. And I'm like, why are you telling me that? Like, because there's one guy that didn't want you in. I'm like, okay, I didn't know there was a theater department here, but that's a very convincing performance. Like, what are you talking about? How could I not get in? They're like, we're sorry. I was like, whoa, what's it, this feeling? I'm being socially rejected for the very first time. I'm not as cool as I thought I was. So I was like, well, fuck this, you know, but at least I stuck with it. For the next 5 months, I was at this school knowing that I was going to leave. So I left. And so I'm like, I'm going to go to University of Georgia. It's a big party school. I'm sure they got fraternity houses there, and everything is going to be different, and it's just going to be it's just going to be awesome, you know. There's a term for that. It's like a geographic. I've heard of that in the room. But that's not what I was doing, you know. I was different, you know what I mean? I was different. So I went down there. I got there on Sunday. On Tuesday, I found an apartment, and the leasing agent was like, you know, we need to find your roommate. There's a guy looking for a roommate. Hope you all can meet, get along. I met him, sat in his car. He had like a 4-foot bomb lodged in between the front seat and the console. I'm like, hey, let's do it. And so I signed the lease. He's like, I'm going to come in the next day on Wednesday to sign, but it's all right. So on Wednesday morning, he was like, dude, I can't do it. Fuck, you know, what I was paying attention. Was there one sign that maybe I could have looked at that would have You know, oh yeah, he had a bong in his car. Of course he did. And so I just said to them, you know what? I don't want to move in. That's not the way leases work. Once you sign a lease, you're on board for 12 months. And I was signed this two-bedroom apartment. And I was like, but I don't want to do it. And so I moved into a dorm Wednesday. Spent the whole day with the fraternity, rushing. I got a bid. It was so awesome. I was been there for 2 days. Spent the whole day with these guys. Like, they all got around me, like, snapping fingers. I was like, this is it. They're going to accept me. And I spent the whole day drinking and the whole night. And I remember I did the right thing, and I didn't drive home. I walked to the dorm, and I was like, I've arrived. But the problem was that I hadn't arrived yet. These cops got in between me and the front door. I'm like, fuck. And they're like, have you been drinking tonight? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, tonight, fuck, I've been drinking for 14 hours. Yes, yes, yes. The answer is yes. They're like, well, where have you been? I'm like, I just want to go to sleep, please. They're like, well, there was a police officer that was attacked at Miller Hall 20 minutes ago, and there's a tall white male wearing a blue shirt and khaki shorts that fled the scene. And that's what I was wearing. And at the time, I was like half the man I am now, so it was believable that I could run away from a cop. I gotta stop eating. I was like, fuck, you know, but I didn't do that. You know, like, I didn't do that. So I went down, they took me to the station, arrested me for underage possession of alcohol, and the second one in 11 months. And I remember thinking, I'm just not gonna cooperate. That's the one thing I'm gonna do and focus on down here is just fucking bullshit. And I remember they're like, you know, we're gonna take a mugshot, we're gonna take two. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm sitting there, in my mind, I'm gonna be two different people. And so I'm like all like this, you know? And then the next one, I'm like, this is perfect timing. And the thing came out, and you could see the tops of my fingers in the mugshot. Have you ever seen a mugshot with someone's hands in it? No. Mission accomplished. And then the fingerprinting was just, I remember going limp. They had to get three officers, one to hold me up, you know, one to hold my arm, then one to hold my, it was like a finger painting. I just fucked it, you know, it was bullshit. You know, like running my mouth. And I remember like writing in the police report, just filling it out, like putting a fake name and just, you know, so fucking funny and clever. And I do remember like writing in the margins too. It was really, I don't know. And so they took me home and I was going to sleep at like 5 a.m. At 7:30, I got a knock on the door. It's a lieutenant that says, hey, you know, I saw that you made quite a commotion at the police station last night, and I'm here to help you. Okay, thank you. And I want, you know, you need to, like, provide us with an alibi. So, like, he had me write this statement about where I was. And I was like, there's nothing better than, like, being innocent. Even though I was drunk, like, I didn't attack the cop. I was just righteous. I don't know what the term is in the rooms, but that was what it was. And so I just told him everything, just like when I was 14. I said, I was with these guys. I was at this place. I took that timeline back at 2 p.m. And I went back to sleep. I got a day's rest, you know, woke up at 3 p.m. Called the fraternity guys. I was like, hey, you know, like, I got arrested last night. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, we got a guy. Just, you know, just come with a couple thousand. It'll be fine. I'm like, so arrogant. I'm like, but at that time, I was like, okay, good. I'm fine. But this man came over to my dorm and asked me for a statement. And they're like, well, what'd you tell him? I'm like, Well, I don't really know. Like, what do you mean you don't know? It's like, well, I don't remember. Like, did you write anything down? It's like, yeah, I do remember writing a lot of stuff down and signing. It's like, dude, like, that's a problem, because if we get in trouble, if you mention, and so the next morning, there was a newspaper article that says fraternity suspended for alcohol violations. And this isn't my diary. This is the University of Georgia fraternity was suspended Thursday after a 19-year-old pledge confessed to police that members, including the fraternity president, bought him alcohol during 12 hours of partying over here. Travis Jones, the Chi Phi pledge who implicated the fraternity members in incident, was found by UGA police at 3:17 a.m. about 50 feet away from Oglethorpe Hall. Now, before tonight, I walked off 50 feet. That's from here to the men's room. So close. So close. But I just skipped over a part in the article. So I didn't remember this part. He was found by UGA police at 317, slumped over a sign. So it was my fault. Initially, Jones told the police that he gave him alcohol beverages during a keg party. I mean, from 2 to 7, from 10 to midnight. I mean, again, the timeline was just so honest. And the parties began soon after the Chi Phi members accepted Jones as a pledge, a potential member of the fraternity. Note the word potential. I just want to get this right. In his written statement to UGA police, Jones said, "The fraternity took care of me in terms of alcohol." So that was like in the written statement. But while in police custody, so this was the mugshot fingerprinting scene, Jones criticized the state's drinking laws, which established a minimum drinking age of 21. Quote, "The police department will never solve the problem of underage drinking." Police quoted Jones' statement. Quote, "I, myself, have been drinking since I was 14. This is a newspaper. I mean, there's some young people here. The newspaper, like, it comes out every morning. It's print, you know, like, the whole community gets it. It's a real thing, you know. I've been drinking since I was 14, and nothing that occurred tonight has any effect on my future plans to drink underage. Period. I will be drinking for the remainder of my underage career." I got set up as a professional. Comma, "no matter what any of you say about it." And I'm sorry. There are about 5,000 people that feel the same way. What an asshole. So none of it was my fault, and so I had to pack up and leave. But you know, here's the thing. Looking back, that was 18 years ago, and you know, like, fuck that guy. Like, it would have been fine if he didn't come to my apartment, you know, get my statement. It would have just been an underage possession. He got in the way, and I've hated him for my entire life. And so when she asked me to do this thing tonight, I said, you know what? This Lieutenant Platt is on my 8-step. For those of you that don't know, it's a list of people we have harmed. And like, how did I harm him? Well, I spoke ill of him to anyone that would listen. For 18 years, you know? And I said that he lied. And he was just doing his job. Who knows who this guy is? Maybe he, all this thing. So I looked him up. I've been sober for 6 years, but my progress in recovery can be categorized as glacial, very slow, you know? It took me a long time to do anything, but I had a drink. And I wrote this letter, and I sent it to him today. Lieutenant Platt. I didn't want to go through Facebook because we're not going to be friends. You knocked on my dorm room at Oglethorpe Hall on UGA campus. Previous to that evening, I had been arrested for underage possession of alcohol. You were there to take my statement. I told the truth to you. But later that day, upon realizing my statement implicated the Chi Phi, I began to lie about it. I lied to this only, it's almost over. I lied to the police department when I tried to recant my story, and I lied to the local press about your role in the matter. For years after, I spoke ill of your name to anyone who would listen to me. I want to take responsibility for telling these untruths. In the event that my actions had any derogatory effect on your professional career, I apologize. You were acting in good faith, and I was adamant in suggesting otherwise. I hope this finds you well. Now, it took me 18 years to write that. 12 minutes later, he responded. Sure. That could be like, sure. Or who knows, but do I feel better? Sure, I feel a lot better.